I'm Jody, the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr, the doc.
And this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas.
We bring together the mom experience and the doc expertise to give you the information and tools you need to help make the next right decision to get your child back.
Let's dive in.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Mom and Doc Talk. Jody and I are here today to talk about something that if you were to make a list of Dr. Barr-isms, this would be on the list, I think. I say it so frequently to my clients, to our community, to really emphasize two of the most important things when it comes to actually getting to a place of recovery from pans and pandas, especially with homeopathy, but truly with anything, that you know, you're not going to see things just dramatically change overnight. So what we really need to recover, to manage pans and pandas, to fully heal with homeopathy is patience and persistence. And this is one of those things that, you know, today I'm hoping we can talk a little bit about ways that we find it, how to navigate through it, why it's important, all of those things, to give people just a little bit of support and maybe a few ideas that they can lean on those times when they're being challenged. Jody, what are your thoughts when it comes to just patience and persistence?
I have so many thoughts because it's really, it's a hard thing because I feel like in both worlds, like before we got to homeopathy, there was like this patience and persistence that I was having to have, but there's just this constant letdown that was happening and there didn't feel like a whole lot of hope. And then we got to homeopathy. And it was the same patience and persistence. And I think I'm definitely speaking with hindsight here, but also I kind of felt it whenever we were in homeopathy. It was like a different level of patience and persistence, but the goal was different and I knew it. I could feel it. Like I could feel. And so while patience and persistence were so very hard for me, I could just feel deep in me that this patience and persistence was sending us to Avery's absolute best possibility. At the time, I didn't know that it was full recovery. Now I know that it's full recovery, but it was like a larger goal, a bigger goal. And so it didn't make it easier, but I felt that this patience and persistence was like, I just had to do it. And it was like, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm trying to explain. It's so hard to talk about this because it was so hard. But now where I'm at, looking back, it was hard. But in the grand scheme of our lives, it wasn't that hard. It was just a matter of staying.
So one of the things that I think helped you, Jody, being in that place, is that you had very quickly exhausted your other options.
Yes.
And so it's easier to a degree to have patience and persistence when you feel like you have no other choice. And so even though homeopathy is often slower for people than they want it to be, or even for those who are not, it's not necessarily slow that you have a really quick, profound response, but it's not a healing, a full recovery response. And so the ups and downs can start to be challenging for people.
Mm-hmm.
It tends to be easier when you've reached the point that you're like, well, I have no other choice, or I've tried all the other things and nothing worked. This is taking longer than I want it to take, or it's challenging me in other ways, but it's at least giving us progress. That tends to be a bit easier than when you are starting at homeopathy because you've heard all of the great results that people have with homeopathy. And in the back of your mind thinking, oh, but what if I tried this? What if I tried this? What if I was one of the people that antibiotics cures it? Those do happen. It's not very common though. And I don't fully personally at this point trust it. Like I want to trust it, but I'm always just waiting. Okay, it's good now and it's been good for a while. How long is that really going to be the case? You know, whereas even with my skeptic brain that I still have, guys, I understand, I know homeopathy works, but I still have some skeptic that lingers there, which I think helps me. It helps me understand it. It helps me really evaluate how effective things are being and all that. So I do think it's actually a benefit that I'm somewhat skeptical. But even that, my skeptic brain has actually learned and understands and trust that people can actually recover. And even things that you're just, you should not be okay this far in or after this recent exposure or this big change or whatever. And they still are. I just see that it really can heal. So that said, it's like, it's just hard when you haven't tried all the other things, and trying all the other things can actually unintentionally challenge the healing process and end up making it so that you require even more patience and persistence. But let's back up for just a minute. One of the things that I think people bring to homeopathy that I just wanted anybody who might be in a place where they're struggling with patience or persistence, or even considering using homeopathy and trying to prepare themselves mentally for what to expect. For some reason, homeopathy, because it is very, very powerful, and some people have miraculous stories, and much of the healing that you see with homeopathy really does feel miraculous, even when it's not an overnight sort of situation, because we're seeing things heal that we're told can't possibly heal, right? And so we get a lot of people who will come to homeopathy having like the most exalted expectations that you can imagine, expecting miracles. I can't tell you how many people I've had to have conversations with who are like, I want this. This should go faster. Shouldn't this be happening faster? Is this just not going to work? And I'm just like, okay, here's the thing. You've been through this treatment, this treatment, this treatment, this treatment. And I'm listing off all of like the 15 or 20 different things that have been used, and those all failed. And you're coming and you're expecting homeopathy to make this go away very, very quickly. It's not impossible for it to go away, but we need to understand the complexity of what you're dealing with, the length of time you've been dealing with this, the added complexity the failed treatments have added to the case. Because as we've talked about in several other episodes, when you add treatments or when you're using things, the body is reacting against the treatment as well. So the treatment is putting a biochemical force on the body, unless it's homeopathy. It's a biochemical force on the body, and then the body pushes back against it because it's not something that is really meant to be integrated into the body. It's like, wait a minute, this isn't how my body is wired. It's not where I want to be right now. And so it pushes back. And so we have the condition that you're trying to treat and the body's reaction to the things you're using to treat it that come together and increase complexity. And that takes some more time. So sometimes adding more things when you're being impatient might help short term, but in the long run, it ends up usually creating more opportunities to practice patience and persistence.
Yeah, I think this is a shift for us as parents too. It really is a shift because with, you know, when we were doing antibiotics with Avery or other treatments, you know, sometimes they were like a quick, she's better, looking good. And so, you know, I love that there's more education on homeopathy out there now. So families have better expectations, but I came into homeopathy expecting that it would be the exact same thing. I didn't realize how differently it works than conventional medicine. And I didn't realize, I came into homeopathy looking for suppression and being disappointed when I didn't see very quick, even though I was seeing improvement. I just was, you know, I wanted Avery to feel better quicker.
Yeah. So I want to try and keep this on the shorter side, just because I wanted to see if we can have any practical tips or just things from our personal experience that we have used in those times when we are needing to lean into patience and persistence and that we find it challenging. Because let's just be honest, for most people, patience and persistence does not come naturally. There is a small subset of people who are wired to be very patient and very persistent, but most of us are not wired that way. And even if we have the capacity within us as a child, it gets societied out of us, right? It's the things we have to be to at a certain time and all that. And we learn to be just go, go, go. Let's be faster. Let's be faster. Let's do this. Let's get it taken care of. Let's do this now. There's a problem to solve. Let's check it off of our list and be done and move on, right? So for most of us, we have to have practices to help cultivate patience and persistence. So that could be things like, for me, daily meditation is really vital for me to cultivate patience for the day. And I've been meditating a very long time. So it is something that I do feel an impact that ripples through my whole day when I do it. And for a while, I was doing it daily, almost to a point of compulsive daily meditation, that I have relaxed a bit. So I don't meditate every single day. And I And it's been so beneficial because now I do see the very clear difference that even a 5-minute meditation at the beginning of my day provides for the entire day. The days that I get up and I don't meditate, one, it's harder to fit in a meditation for me outside of that very first thing. I get up, get my day started with meditation within the first 15 minutes I'm sitting down. And even if it's only 5 minutes, it's still a five minute meditation is all I'm doing right now. And when I do it, substantially impacts the whole of my day, the entire day. Jody, do you have anything that you do? I know meditation is not your thing. No, it's not.
I'm awful at all this stuff. And I used to, like, I know that you used to tell me to you know, try and help me with this. And I used to be like, oh, no, it's, you know, I've got so much going on with PANS. And then PANS was in the past. And I'm like, oh, no, I got so much going on with life. And I don't really have so much going on with life right now. I mean, it's busy, but I'm still, meditation is not my thing. I'm not really great at like practices like that. For me, it was like, I really think it was mostly a mindset thing and almost practicing where my mindset was because I believed it. I said it out loud, like all day long. I still do it with my younger daughter too. Like her body can heal. Her body can do this. Her body wants to heal all of the things. Just, I was mindful about my thoughts. And then sometimes I would get eaten up by my thoughts. But I was always mindful about whatever I'm thinking. Like I'm going to like not necessarily manifest this, but I'm going to believe this to life in my brain or I'm going to crush it in my brain. And so for me, I just was more like instead of actually doing something, I was just thinking about it, which I don't know that that's the best thing, but that's.
People need to find what works for them, you know? So if you are someone who can think your way to patience, that's fantastic. I cannot think my way to patience. When I get stuck with thinking a ton, it usually means that I'm having an emotional response to something that I am trying to think my way through or think my way out of. And I'm going to tell you, I'm willing to bet that a whole bunch of people just were like, yep, I'm having some emotions to this really hard thing I'm dealing with PANS. And now I need to think my way out of this because this feeling is really uncomfortable. And it's not unwarranted. It's valid to have that, the desire to find a solution for your children when they are suffering. And sometimes the thinking can blur things for you in a way that the trust and that you were just sharing, Jody, the trust in your body to heal, the trust in the people that you are working with to help give you the best guidance that you need to get there. It can get blurry when we get to the place that we are thinking to try and soothe our feelings. It definitely happens to me. I have to, the more I get into my brain and thinking about some of the stuff that I'm dealing with my health right now, the more I get into thinking, the further it takes me usually from the right answer versus when I can just sit in the discomfort for a little bit and then see that the discomfort will pass and that we're going to have ups and downs, even if I don't feel physically good in the moment, that the discomfort of the emotion will pass. And then I can lean back into the doctors that I trust and know that I'm going to get to the right place and that I just have to be patient with the process.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I definitely wasn't like I wasn't locked in on that mindset the whole time. There was, you know, there's almost toxically positive Jody. And then there is the Jody who just like was a mom that was devastated and stuck in the pain and the parts that I didn't understand and all of that. And likely had I had a practice to help me pull out of those spaces, it might have been a little bit better, you know, hindsight. And starting my own homeopathic care would have helped a whole lot with that. Yeah. I realize that now. So yeah. I'm taking this off track.
Well, no, it all connects because there's different tools that are going to work for different people. For you, you had to mindset yourself into it. For me, I have a daily meditation practice. I do want to touch really quickly on the meditation that it doesn't have to be. Part of it for you, Jody, is that you don't recognize that you have things that you do that are meditative. You just don't call it meditation. So meditation is just paying attention intentionally. So it is being present with what is happening now and intentionally paying attention to what is happening now. And then recognizing when you are wandering off in your thoughts and intentionally returning to the thing that you are doing or the thing that you're attending to. So when I swim, I am actually meditating in many ways when I swim. It's a moving meditation because I'm not listening to anything. I am not necessarily getting, you know, using the time to process, although occasionally I do use the time to process something that I'm thinking through. But for the most part, I'm just moving. I'm just present with my body and what I'm doing and hit a wall. Okay, turn, go back. Another wall. Okay, turn, go back. And so you can have moving meditations. You can be meditating while you are petting your dog if you are intentionally being present in the moment and paying attention to what you're doing, what it feels like to touch your dog, what your dog's breathing sounds like, what their heart rate sounds like, what feels like, what your heart rate feels like, that kind of thing. So, you know, we were talking before we came on about paint by number, adult paint by number, which I'm like obsessed right now. It's like the most calming, soothing, wonderful thing. And you can be meditating while you're doing that. If you are just intentionally paying attention to what you are doing and being present with like the feel of the brush moving on the canvas or anything like that. So there's lots of ways that you can be meditating that is not just sitting on the top of a mountain in the lotus position with your, hands on your knees and a blank brain. Nobody has a blank brain when they're meditating. In fact, it shows you how hard it is to have a blank brain, and it's just about bringing it back on purpose. So there's lots and lots of ways, and it does not take a ton of time. So for anybody who maybe meditation is a good path for them, you can find different ways to be mindful and present. It can be while you're brushing your teeth, all of these things that you can do. And in just a few minutes, getting up 5 minutes earlier than you normally do to get a meditation can, for a lot of people, have a really profound impact on their day and help you through those times when it's a little harder to be patient with your child when they're struggling, be patient in a flare, be patient with figuring out what's going on with dosing strategy, be patient with figuring out the remedy selection, being patient with yourself when you're trying to do all of the things that you need to do to report symptoms to your provider, and just trying to get through the day and giving yourself patience when you've lost your patience too.
Yeah. That's what I was doing when I went and hung out with my plants.
Mm-hmm.
I love how you make me remember stuff that I completely and totally forget, but that's exactly what I was doing because it was quiet. I could just be doing a thing without thinking about it. And so I was able to just clear my mind and be there. And that was my thing that I did a lot of during homeopathy.
Yeah. So that's something, find the thing that helps you to practice and cultivate patience. It does not have to feel hard. It can feel good, like going and hanging out with your plants or going for a walk or doing a paint by number or knitting or whatever. Playing basketball can be very meditative too. The dribbling, the shooting. It, like, lots of things can be very meditative. It's about the intention that you put behind it. Okay. So let's shift a little bit and talk more about the staying persistent in the face of resistance, and I'm talking about like our own personal resistance. And this is, again, coming back to some of those thoughts. This should be faster. I want this gone. I want this to be this way. I want this symptom to go, like that type of resistance, or the thoughts that you might be having of, should I do this? Am I missing something? Would it go faster if I did this? Would it go faster if I did this? Or it could also be resistance from your child who's saying, I don't want to take this anymore. Could be resistance from your family. It could be resistance from many, many, many places. Internal resistance, whatever it happens to be. So what are your thoughts just initially on this, Jody?
My own head was it was a competition between my own head and my husband, because it didn't back then, even though you had brought up earlier that we had tried most of the things we could. And so I knew if something was going to work, it needed to be homeopathy because nothing else did. But it's so interesting because when I was doing homeopathy, it felt like I was doing like that I was just letting Avery sit in the struggle and the pain and the suffering. And it really honestly felt like that back then. And it felt like that I should be doing something more instead of just allowing her to sit in it. And I remember a conversation, we talk about this frequently, that I had with you, and this is, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, where I was talking about how it just does. As a mom, it just feels like we're doing nothing. And I remember we were in the car, you were driving, I was in the back seat or right beside you, wherever. And you looked at me and you're like, Jody, you are doing something. Like, you are medically treating your child when you're doing homeopathy. And it's just such a mind trip as a parent, because it feels like we need to do more. And it, like, I think the groups make this harder. They did for me, because I would be in homeopathy, checked in, we're going back and forth. And then all of a sudden here, we would have this flare where things would get worse again. Even though I know the routine, I get back with you, we make an adjustment and things get better. I know that's how it works. But in those moments, if I were to check into other groups where it's like, oh, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're doing NAC, we're doing red light therapy, we're doing this and that, for some reason, I felt like I was failing because I had stopped trying all of the different things. And interestingly enough, when I stopped trying all the things and focused on homeopathy was when Avery actually started healing. And
she got better faster. She did.
Yes. But darn it, those regressions are so hard. And then I think, you know, my husband, he struggled with it. So, you know, he was a part of that understandable frustration and what in the world are we doing right now? Because this doesn't feel right. This doesn't seem right. He was on his own journey of unlearning some of the things that we all are taught about taking care of our health. And it took him a while longer to get there than I did after he got there. But, you know, another thing, and I didn't have too much of a hard time with this, but I hear members in our Facebook community talk frequently about having family members that are really upset about them using homeopathy instead of giving the antibiotics or doing the IVIG or something. And so I understand that there's a lot of pressure in that sense too. And that's a really difficult thing. And as much as I say, drown it out, don't listen to the noise, I understand that it's life and you have to live and be with these people. So that's another hard factor. But also too, in literally all of this, it really is like with homeopathy, your end goal is something so much larger than the other treatments could provide for your child. And the patience and persistence moving through that is so important. And so like, you just have to check yourself back in over and over and over again.
Yeah. I can personally relate. You know, I was on the long healer side, and there are things that I still have to navigate that are very longstanding things that I've created a lot more complexity with some of the stuff that I've used in the process of doing things. So I understand the difficulty when you're getting to the place where, in the second half of healing in particular, when things start to slow down, you're doing pretty well, but not 100% yet. And we're not fully recovered. And the responses to remedies are just changing, and they're more subtle. There's not as much left to really navigate, but still clearly things are changing and shifting with remedies. It can be more challenging in that space. And it can also get to the place where some people will say, you know, if this is what we've got, I'm okay. If this is the best that it is, I'm okay. And so, and they just decide that they want to be done, even though they're still seeing some lingering symptoms. This is probably the most vital and most important place to really lean in to the patience and persistence and stick with it until you see it through. Hahnemann talks about in the Organon of Medicine and Chronic Disease, I believe it's in both. And I'm way over there. I'm not going to make you wait for me to go get it. But he talks about how important it is to see it through all the way until those last lingering things. And he even says in it, things that you might not recognize are part of your chronic case and essentially part of your susceptibility, because you've been dealing with it for so long, it's just normal. So it could be things like, that's just how it is. You know, this is just how I am. And this is just whatever. That when we get to that place that we've just got those last lingering things that we say, oh, I can live with this. This is just how I am. we haven't gotten fully recovered, and we are far more likely to see a resurgence than if we see it through to the very end, even though it's like, oh, I just want to be done with this. Seeing it through can get you to the place that you are actually done and that you can not need a regular follow-up. You can, you know, for our team, we need to see people who are in that space where they're doing well. If they want to stay on our books, we need to see them every 6 months so that we can stay updated on what's going on so that we can help them if something were to come up quickly without needing to do like a full intake or anything like that. And for people to get to the place where they're like, I don't even need these follow-ups every 6 months because I know that things are recovered and we're good. You got to stick with it and have those, even if it's a check-in, you know, every couple of months, every 6 months, every whatever, just to be really certain that you have gotten to the place of full recovery. And then you'll get there and then you can stop. You can do, you know, not follow up when you feel okay. Like we're always say our job is to work ourselves out of a job. We love our clients. We don't want to see them forever though. We want to see you out thriving. We want to get updates on how amazing things are still going, even though you're not working with us anymore. But it's that last little bit. It's the patience and persistence, even when you're dealing with stuff that is not the end of the world, you could be okay with. If the goal is to not have to worry about a recurrence of PANS, we got to see it through.
Patience and persistence towards the end is hard. So, so hard. It almost like felt a little crazy making to me because I was like convinced. I'm like, Avery's just going to live with tics forever. Like Avery's going to live with confidence issues forever. And that's just, this is where we're like exactly what you were just saying. This is where we're at. And it was a hard thing to stay in towards the end because life was livable. Like we were okay. And these two things just held on for so long, even though they waxed and waned a whole lot. I saw them improve throughout the healing journey, but it was just like pushing through the last like 6 months maybe of her healing. And then all of a sudden it was like, I haven't seen a tick in a long time. And then her confidence, especially around school, came back and it was like, okay, like this stuff does eventually go away.
Yeah.
But sticking with it was the, you know, the key, because had we stopped right there, we likely would have held on to those things.
I feel like I need to just make sure we state we're not going to have perfection. We're going to, there are going to be things, ups and downs, especially in like mood or how we're feeling. We're going to get colds. We're going to get sick here and there. We're going to eat terrible food and have some upset stomachs, you know, or whatever. So we're not talking about never having anything. We are talking about your susceptibility being addressed. And so there are things that are going to come up that might be learned behaviors, might be coming from things that are like societal learning, societal expectations and whatnot, that we have to navigate our ways to learn a different way or find our way back to our truth that homeopathy might not be the appropriate thing for. So if you're getting into that final stage of healing and you're in the like, oh my gosh, is this ever going to end? It might be a good opportunity to have a conversation with your provider. How much of this is stuff that is homeopathy focused, and how much of this might be something that we're just going to have to learn and figure our way through, or seek, you know, therapy or whatever that might be to help shift our mindset or our ways of addressing things. And so there is a time and a place for conversation. In addition to the patience and persistence, the patience and persistence is going to get you to the place that you can have that conversation if you're just not 100% sure where you're at and what the expectation would be for resolution for the lingering things that could just be normal parts of life that don't necessarily need regular treatment of any sort.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, it makes total sense because Avery still has some confidence issues around school, but there's like two, like there's the PANS level of like, it's making like it's problematic in her life where she was struggling. And then we have what now where she's very, she has very high expectations of herself. And if she's not meeting them, she's frustrated. It's like a healthy level that doesn't consume her. She's just a high achiever. So while that thing is not completely gone, it's not a PANS level anymore.
Right. And it can just be part of how there are some of those things that, you know, might not be desirable, but that are truly actually part of how somebody is wired. And that, yeah, this is where conversations just come in to be really important. All right. So patience and persistence with the process, patience and persistence in the beginning where you're learning how to do this, having more ups and downs, patience and persistence through the less tumultuous but stubborn symptoms, patience and persistence in the presence of your own thoughts and frustrations, the feedback and whatnot from people around you. Patience and persistence is going to pay off. With homeopathy, it's just we're nudging the body to heal. The body's going to heal at its own pace. We cannot make it heal faster than it's going to. We cannot make it heal in a different order than it wants to. We just have to give it time. And sometimes it also requires patience to even see things get going because there's thousands of remedies that we use and we have to find the best fit. And so there's just lots of ways that patience and persistence are a vital component to get the results that homeopathy is really capable of. And so we come back to what we said at the beginning, that we expect miracles from homeopathy, even when we have failed with everything else. There were times, I'll be totally honest, there have been times that I'm like, you want me to do a miracle very, very quickly in spite of everything else having failed. And I felt sometimes like I was being held accountable for other people's failures and it was all being placed on me. Like people were angry if I wasn't going fast enough. And I'm like, I'm doing what I can and we're seeing progress. I understand you've been dealing with this for a long time. I just wasn't around for all of it. So, but the patience and persistence throughout is going to give you a slow moving miracle in some ways, where things that people shouldn't be healing from or able to heal from, where we see a recovery and just a blossoming of your children back to who they were meant to be before PAN started to take them down. And you've said it multiple times, and I've heard it from many other parents as well. You say Avery 2.0 or, you know, even better things that you never would have expected that came about through both PANs and homeopathy coming together and impacting who she is and shifting and changing where she was able to go and what her body was capable of. So yeah. We really can see miracles happen with homeopathy. It just might not be as fast.
I love that you just said a slow moving miracle, because literally looking back and thinking about her healing journey, I realized it in the middle of it. I realized that the things that I was seeing seemed like not of this world. It was really wild, but then really looking back at it, that was by far the most miraculous thing I've ever witnessed in my life. Watching her slowly come back, and it's nothing short of a miracle. So I have some things written down that I want to share.
For sure. Go for it.
I think that it's everything that we've already said, but it's maybe worth repeating. So in the beginning, that patience piece, you talked about it earlier, the comparison. And one time we were talking and you said something, comparison is the thief of what is it?
Healing.
Comparison is the thief of healing. And I think in so many spaces, because I see the questions, and it's the same questions I had when Avery was healing, is we got started and I'm seeing other moms talk about their first remedy, their first couple of doses, just miraculous changes. And why didn't that happen for Avery? And that's what it feels like. But again, and even the moms that are later in the healing journey, I see this kid healed quicker. Why is my kid taking so long? Every single child is so unique in how they heal. I've got one child that healed relatively quickly. I've got another child that's healing super slowly. There's just all in between there. If we're comparing and I wish that all of the happy posts in the group, everyone could read it and just absorb the joy that family is experiencing. It's so hard not to compare though. And it makes it feel like it makes your child's journey feel like it's failing, which it's not. It's just moving differently and looking differently.
Yeah. The reason I said that comparison is the thief of healing, just like it's the thief of joy, and the two kind of go together in this case. The reason I said it's the thief of healing is because when you compare, and especially if you then take action on it and you say, but I want it to go faster. I want to do something. I need to add this. I need to do this, or I need to change remedies, or I need to whatever it happens to be. We're not listening to the body, to your child's body, and we are actually taking away an opportunity. I've seen it happen where we take away the remedy that is healing them to try and move on to something else, to try and get what they're seeing from other people. And things go backwards because we just have to ride it out with a remedy that is moving things along, stimulating the body to heal and the body moving at the pace that it's going to go. And so it is more often than not sends us in the wrong direction and actually sends us backwards. So it delays things.
Yeah. What you're doing matters even on the days when it seems like nothing's changing. And I think this is a tough one because there's going to be a lot of time where you're sitting there trying to figure out if anything is even happening at all. I think this is one of the harder things about homeopathy for me is it, you know, for a little bit, it kind of felt like we were going in the wrong direction. But then that got corrected. And then it's like, oh, okay, I see this thing. This feels good. This feels great. And then we take that step backwards and it's like, wait, what are we doing? It seems like we're going in the wrong direction again. But then we kind of get going. There was just a lot of space where I was questioning if like we were doing anything. And the whole time I couldn't see the little tiny steps that Avery was taking. They were happening, but I couldn't see them. I just wasn't recognizing them. But literally, like, I would almost venture to say that every month, had I had looked back, which my follow-ups, that's basically what you were doing. And probably part of my confidence was, you know, looking back, I can see, like, I clearly see that there was progress. But whenever I was sitting in the middle of it, it felt like I wasn't doing anything. And the things that we were doing didn't matter.
When you're living in it, it's a lot harder and a lot harder to see than when you've got that separation and that time that your provider has. There's so many parents that will start a visit and say, nothing's changed. Everything is still hard. And then we go through this, you know, how things have been and we share, here's what was said last month. Here's the things that were going on. And they're like, yeah, that's not happening anymore. Oh yeah, that's gone. Okay, yeah, it's still happening, but it's much better. And we were able to go and do this thing that we haven't done. And yeah, we were able to do this. And it's like, started the visit in like despair, nothing's working, and oh wait, things actually are going in the right direction. I just couldn't see it.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. Your patience is not passive. It is powerful.
I love that. Say it again. Somebody needs to hear it again.
Your patience is not passive. It is powerful. I was trying to figure out how to explain the feeling that I had, like I felt guilty because I wanted to be patient and I wanted homeopathy to work. And I felt, again, going back to, I felt like I wasn't doing enough. I felt like I needed to be doing more. I didn't realize at the time, not choosing more and choosing patience and persistence was literally the most powerful thing that I could have done for Avery. It was what healed her. It's just such a powerful thing. And even in the healing journey, there were so many times where you told me, we're going to pause and we're going to see what happens. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we're just prolonging this. We're like pausing and I don't understand. And every time you had me pause, what would happen would be that I would have more information for you. And like we would see something that wasn't making sense, or you would be able to do the like wild figuring out that you do from that pause. Even those pauses are so powerful. There's just so many parts of like, I don't know, it just feels like it, like I think as parents, we're riddled with guilt about this almost being patient, but patience is the power that allows our children's body to actually heal.
So I have, you know, I love an analogy, and it's not really truly an analogy, but it's sort of another way to think about it. Because it feels sometimes so wrong, as you said, to be patient when your child is struggling and suffering, and you just feel like you are doing something wrong. But let's put yourself in your shoes. Like if you are working at a job and you've got something challenging that you're trying to figure out, if your supervisor or your boss is there breathing down your neck saying, figure this out now. Come on. What's going on? You need to do this. Do this now. Do this now. What's taking so long? You get caught up more in that, in the pressure and the rush than you, if they just have a little bit of patience, give you the space to figure things out and then come to them, you know, checking in every once in a while, potentially just making sure we're still on the right track. Do you need any support? But if your boss is being patient and allowing you the space to do it, you're far more likely to get things done, usually faster and with more ease than when you are. Maybe you'll get things done quickly if you're getting pressure just to get it done, but it's probably not your best work. And it's probably going to have things that you missed because you weren't able to really work through it. Or look at it another way. If you're trying to rush a kid to get through stuff for bedtime, does it really help the situation as a whole and get things done quicker if you are on top of them, do this, do this, do this, do this? Or is there just more ease if you're like, all right, I'm going to be patient and I'm going to wait as you get this. You know, this has to get done and we can't do this until the next thing. I don't know about your experience, but my experience, the whole thing is better and we still get to bed. Usually around the same time, maybe a few minutes later, but it's not a big difference. And it's a whole lot more peaceful and it allows my daughter to get to the place that she regulates herself and makes the decision and moves on as she's ready and gets it taken care of. I don't know if those are useful for the shifts. And in both of those cases, as the parent trying to get your child to do the thing that they need to do, patience takes work. It is absolutely a powerful thing because you are working hard. It's harder to be patient than it is to go and get on them to do the thing, right?
Yeah. I think you're nailing it right now. Is patience and persistence is work. And as hard as it is for me to say nice things about myself, which is silly, I think the patience and persistence that I had as Avery was healing was one of my greatest acts of love for her, because it changed her immediate life. It changed her right now life. It changed her entire future. She has, like, her life will be so much easier because of the patience and persistence and my willingness to keep pushing and fighting and loving and managing and moving her through the healing journey. Like, that is, she'll never know a thing about it because fortunately she was young enough that she doesn't really remember all of this, but that will, I think, forever be one of my greatest acts of love for her, was sticking through all the hard stuff, all the difficult things, and sticking with it and staying with it until she was fully healed.
Now, I'm recognizing that we said we were going to keep this short. And so for those of you who've had patience and persistence to stick through our not actually short episode, was there anything else that you had on your list that you'd written down that you wanted to make sure that we really communicated?
Just keep going.
Yeah.
You're not alone. You're not, like, there's a whole community of people who understand this. Lean into that. Go to the supportive people in your life. You know, do your best to drown out the noise of anybody who is not believing, not giving you a hard time, and go to the supportive people. If there's any way that you can get help in this area, like, just ask for help. Ask for help. If you need a minute to go sit outside with your plants, ask your partner for help. Ask your neighbor, ask grandma, whatever. Like, 5 minutes, can I send my kids in the backyard to play with your kids? Whatever it might be, just keep going and keep going and have, I know this is so hard, but have confidence that what you're doing matters literally every single day, even on the really, really hard days. You're doing important work, and your patience and your persistence will pay off, and they will be one of the greatest acts of love that you have for your child.
Yeah. And celebrate other people's wins. Use them as lights to shine on when you're having your darker times, that healing is possible. And remember, yours is going to look different. Everybody's path is their own path. They're going to get there when they get there and how they get there. And trying to force things is more likely to derail it than having whatever tools you need to use to lean into when you're feeling challenged with your patients so that you can maintain the persistence even in the face of resistance, whether it's internal or externally driven. And it'll get you there. It'll get you to the place that you can make PANS and PANDAS a thing of the past for you.
Yeah. It'll get you your slow-moving miracle. I love that.
All right. That's all we have for today. Thanks for having the patience and persistence to see this through to the end with us for this conversation. Hopefully there was something useful that one of the things that we shared can help you in those tough times, because they'll be there. We're here with you. If you're part of our Facebook group, we're here to help support you and to hold that hope when you don't have the capacity to hold it for yourself. And you can come back and pick it up when you're ready, when things are going again, and you can offer it to others as well. Join us if you're not a member already. And otherwise, we'll see you guys on the next episode. Take care, everybody.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We would love to connect with you on social media and have you as part of our amazing community. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Homeopathy for PANS and PANDAS.
If Facebook isn't your thing, you can also connect with us on Instagram and YouTube by searching for Resilience Naturopathic or clicking the links in our show notes. You can also visit our website, resiliencenaturopathic.com.
As always, we value your partnership in advocacy and education. Your support through following, sharing, rating, and reviewing our podcast is crucial in our mission to teach the world about PANS, PANDAS, and homeopathy. So if you found this podcast helpful, please leave us a review. Together, we are making a difference.
And finally, this podcast really is for you. Your questions and feedback help us make sure we are answering the right questions so you can feel confident making the next right step for your kids. Send us your questions or request guests by emailing us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com, also linked in the show notes.